morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading will be from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and 13 through 25. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, thank you for your word, and thank you that it's alive, that it speaks to us in every time, every circumstance, that your words will last forever, that it remains relevant. We thank you today for our worship service, for being able to be blessed with beautiful music, to lift up our voices in praise to you, to receive forgiveness for our sins, to be encouraged and challenged, to be people of faith and people who follow Jesus Christ. I pray that your word will speak to each and every one of us in this moment, and also to those online and those who might watch or listen to this message at a different time. May your Spirit work powerfully in our lives through your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we are about to celebrate an important holiday. Does anyone know what that is? 4th of July, any other guesses? Yeah, 4th of July is of course a very important day, but that's not what I'm thinking of, Dennis. There's another day that is being celebrated on the 6th of July every year. Does anyone know what that day is? It's National Kissing Day, also known as World Kiss Day or International Kissing Day. And it's an unofficial holiday, of course, but it's something people celebrate every year nonetheless. And on this day, you are encouraged to kiss the person you love. And by the way, did you know that kissing is good for you? Did anybody know that? I'm not talking about, you know, turning your cheek, you know, for these air kisses. I'm talking about a passionate kiss. They say kissing burns 6 calories a minute. Okay, so if you kiss for 2 hours, you can afford yourself a little piece of chocolate. Apparently, kissing increases saliva, which lead to a healthier mouth. Kissing can build up immunity because with the bacteria of the mouth. Kissing can even reduce allergy symptoms. Now, how true all of this is, I really don't know, but you can always try it out, of course. And of course, kissing, I mean, it just feels good, right? So what's up with all the kissing thing and all the talk about kissing today? Why is it relevant? Where is this going to? It's relevant because the Bible, especially the New Testament, has a lot to say, not about kissing necessarily, but about interpersonal relationships. And in this reading from Galatians, the Apostle Paul is telling us to practice certain behaviors and to avoid other behaviors. And I guess you might call the behaviors we're supposed to practice figurative kisses. They're actions that make you and other people feel good. Actions that also feed and nurture us in our growth as persons and as followers of Christ. And this list of behaviors is popularly known as the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's the metaphor Paul uses that characterize these nine virtuous qualities, which is, of course, a good metaphor, the fruit of the Spirit, because God's apple is orange is, banana is, but it may also be an overused one, because we hear it, but we don't hear it. And we've heard it so often that we don't pay much attention to it anymore. So what if we call them, at least for today, not the fruit of the Spirit, but the holy kisses of the Holy Spirit? The holy kisses of the Holy Spirit are love and joy and peace and patience and so forth. Maybe you will hear it a little differently, or maybe you will even pay a little more attention. I don't know. So now in verse 22, Paul says, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is. So these holy kisses are in contrast to something else. They're in contrast to some other kinds of behavior. And so Paul talks about what he calls the desires of the flesh, the result of our sinful nature. He talks about aggressive and hostile behaviors that are in stark contrast to the holy kisses of the Holy Spirit. And so he says in verse 19, instead of having affectionate gestures toward others, there are many people who are being sexually unfaithful or not being pure, taking part in sexual sins, worshiping gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people, feeling envy, or being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties, and doing all other things like these, he says. And he says, this is not attractive behavior, by the way. This is not good. This is not healthy behavior. This is sinful behavior. This is aggressive and unattractive and unkind and unwelcome behavior. This is behavior that has nothing to do with God. This has nothing to do with the kingdom of God or with the Holy Spirit. And so I want us to ask ourselves today, you know, who are we? Are we people who are rude and unloving and uncaring and unattractive in that sense? Or are we people of grace, people of mercy? Are we people of love and kindness? Are we people of patience and tolerance? So let's take a magnifying glass and let's look more closely at these virtues that are listed here. Let's zoom in on the holy kisses of the Holy Spirit. And as I talk about each one of them, I want you to think about, excuse me, your own life. about how these different attributes are present in your life, or maybe they're not, and how you might grow in these behaviors and express them more in your life. Think about how you can express the love of God to others this week and next week. And so I've provided you with, you know, just a little tool to help you rate yourself when it comes to these virtues. In your bulletin, as I talk about them, I want you to apply them to your life and give yourself a rating, okay? If you rate yourself a 1, it means you need lots of growth in this particular area. If you rate yourself a 5, it means you're really doing great. And so here's the first one. It's the kiss of joy. It's the kiss of joy. So let me ask you, I mean, do you ever brighten up a room with your cheerful attitude? Do you think you make others glad, you know, just to be around you? Do you maybe have an attitude that gives hope to other people? Because the kiss of joy means your life is full of words of encouragement and positive and forward-looking thinking. Now, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Joy is not something we can always have in our lives, okay? Happiness, maybe yes, but not joy. Joy is an attribute of Christian living that you can't really sustain. Joy is the spike, it's the rush, the sudden flood of ecstasy, the jumping and squealing with, you know, delight. That's joy. You get a raise or a promotion. Your favorite team wins in the bottom of the 12th innings. Scores a goal in overtime to win the championship. Your child is having a healthy baby. You experience a spike of joy. And it's something anyone can have. It's what we call joy. But then it subsides into a state of being that we call happiness, a state of well-being, a state of contentment. Now, Christian joy differs a little bit from this joy, because a Christian can also experience happiness or a spike of joy for so many more reasons. Christians experience a rush of joy when a sinner repents, or when an alcoholic celebrates a year of sobriety, when you get the unusual opportunity to serve someone else, when you can pray for someone in need, when someone has an astounding success. So have you had any spikes of happiness like that recently? If not, well, just realize that this is not something that's natural, okay? This is something that comes from the Holy Spirit. When you experience this kind of joy, it's really from God. It's a joy that looks a lot like what Jesus was referring to when he said to his disciples, "I've told you these things so that you can have the same joy I have, and so that your joy will be the fullest possible joy." So how much joy is there in your life? Because joy comes from the Spirit. So I want you to rate yourself on this one. And guys up there, I just want you to catch up, okay? You missed a slide there. So the second holy kiss is the kiss of peace. So let's talk about this. This is when your style and your manner is welcoming and it's embracing, okay? There's nothing hostile or angry about you. You're a person of goodwill. And when others look at you, what they see is a person whose waters are still, whose inner life is without conflict. It's when the Holy Spirit gives you an inner satisfaction, an inner contentment and serenity. And just like joy, I mean, peace is a quality that Jesus gave to his disciples. He didn't say, "My patience I give you." He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." So do you have that kind of peace in your heart and in your life? Christ's peace. The Holy Spirit's kiss of peace. I tell you what, I mean, it's not easy today with social media screaming into our lives. It's not easy in a world where everyone is suing one another, where there's so much agitation and where we have a culture of complaining and confrontation and hostility and intolerance. It's hard to experience inner satisfaction and contentment and serenity in today's world. And again, just like joy, it's not something that comes naturally. It comes from God by the Holy Spirit. It's when we're living in the Spirit and what the Apostle Paul calls the flesh, when we don't live in the flesh. It's when we open ourselves up to the work of the Spirit that we are blessed with qualities like these that we never thought of would be possible for us to possess. And if you have them, you're able to share them with others. And so how are you doing when it comes to the kiss of peace? Let's next talk about the kiss of patience. How many of you would say that you're patient? I see a lot of heads nodding. How willing are you to let others work and move at their own pace according to their skills and their interests? You know, the word Paul uses here literally means to be far away from anger. That's what a patient person is able to do, to remove yourself from irritation and anger. To get far away from anger and then allow circumstances to evolve and move along. Patience is when you're sitting in traffic or when the new driver is going 40 in a 55 zone, and you're still far away from anger. Now, patience, of course, is a virtue that we can lose. We talk about losing our patience. And I'm sure, just like me, you've lost your patience many, many times. But think of it this way. You can actually keep your patience if you're able to lose some other things. If you don't want to lose patience, you may need to lose your expectations of others. Or you may need to lose your need to always be right. Or lose your need to always be in control. So is this something that, you know, that you can work on? When you look at the scale, I mean, how are you doing on this one? How often do you extend the holy kiss of patience to others? I'm going to skip over kindness and goodness. And so next, let's take a look at the kiss of faithfulness. Faithfulness is when others can depend on you to do the right thing. Faithfulness is when you can love and commit with no questions asked. A faithful person is really full of faith. She's brimming with the confidence of faithfulness of God. It's kind of like when you're like Abram in the Old Testament. Paul, you know, he says in Romans, hoping against hope, he believed. He did not weaken in faith. So when you're hoping against any hope and your faith is still strong, because when you live with doubt, you live with hesitation and fear. You always wonder, you know, what will happen next? You know, you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. The kiss of faithfulness is when you're putting your faith in God and when you bless others because of it. It's a virtue that really blesses other people. When we're faithful, others learn to lean and depend on us. I mean, to have a faithful friend is one of the rarest things. It's one of the greatest blessings to have a faithful friend. And you can be that friend. So again, rate yourself on the attribute of faithfulness in your life. And that's brings me to the next holy kiss, and that's the kiss of gentleness. How good are you at putting yourself in someone else's position? Are you able to do that? How often do you treat people the way you would like to be treated? Are you an aggressive person? If so, it's not the way of gentleness. When you're gentle by heart, there's no physical, psychological, or emotional abuse of someone else. You don't insult other people. You don't promote yourself all the time. Gentleness is a soft word and an understanding heart. And when you're gentle, you get the concept of age appropriateness, which means it's okay. It's okay to allow people to mature and allow them to make choices on their own. So the holy kiss of gentleness means you're not judgmental. You don't slander another person or gossip about them. Paul says to the Ephesians, always be humble and gentle. Patiently put up with each other. And by the way, gentleness reflects the character of Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, if you're serious about being Christ-like, then you have to be gentle. Because Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle. I'm gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your lives. So how would you rate yourself on the kiss of gentleness? And then there's the kiss of self-control. And here's what you need to ask yourself. Am I good at showing restraint? Can I relate to self-discipline in my life? Because you see, the kiss of self-control means you're seldom out of control. You're the master of your emotions. You're in control of your habits. They don't control you. When others are falling apart at the seams, you are like a rock and a refuge. And self-control means you don't always have to be right, okay? You don't always have to get in the last word. You don't always need to have what your heart desires right now. You know how to wait. You know how to control your tongue and you offer measured responses. You know how to manage your emotions. It's the kiss of self-control. And so when you're honest about yourself, where would you put yourself on this one? Are you just blowing air kisses of self-control? Or is it a passionate and a holy kiss for you? And then finally, there is the kiss of love. Now in our passage, you know, Paul mentions the kiss of love first, but maybe it's best to leave it to the last, because love is the kiss that covers and includes all of the other affectionate gestures. And the word here is agape, and the question is, how much love do you think you have if you're impatient all the time? If there is no joy in your life? If you're undisciplined and out of control? If you're harsh and judgmental? Not much, right? Because it's difficult for love to coexist with those kinds of qualities. Because you see, agape love is the crowning virtue of all. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, so these three things continue forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. He says three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, agape. So love is an all-encompassing virtue. If you tally up all the holy kisses we talked about, they equal love. Without God's love in your heart and life, it's very hard to be a good kisser when it comes to these holy kisses. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are who Jesus is. They're a picture of His character. And when we express these virtues, these fruits of the Spirit, these holy kisses of the Holy Spirit, we express the very essence of who Christ is. So Dennis, I hope you will enjoy the 4th of July celebrations next week, and all of you, of course. But remember, okay, remember that National Kissing Day is coming up in only 10 days. So get out the lip balm and the air, you know, the breath freshener. But also in a spiritual sense, of course. And get ready to extend these holy kisses to the people who cross your path. And as you do that, you'll be expressing the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you for the opportunity to kind of look inward this morning and to see ourselves for who we are. And hopefully we've all been honest about where we kind of rate ourselves when it comes to these fruits of the Spirit. And we know that you, God, are all of these virtues. And you are patient with us. And you are faithful to us. And you're kind and gentle to us. And you love us above all. So we know that as we seek to grow in these, you will bless us. May we experience your Spirit and allow your Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives so that these fruits can grow So that we will be known as people who kiss passionately when it comes to the holy kisses of your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.